We are worshiping now. I was just thinking of King David. And you know the people, as he was dancing before the Lord and worshipping, and you know, the woman who scoffed and mocked and just said, oh, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and you shouldn't be. You know what? King David didn't care, did he? You know, he just thought, I love the Lord. I'm just going to dance. I'm going to just worship my God. And you know, the strength of King David was not the fact that he wore a crown.
Yeah.
It wasn't why he was a good king. You know, in many ways, humanly speaking, he was a lousy king. Right? Look at what he did half the time. You know what made David a good king? He loved God. He loved the Lord. And when the people around him were saying, oh no, you can't, oh you shouldn't, oh you mustn't, oh it's embarrassing, oh, you know what, he just said, I don't care. You know, I was saying this afternoon to Harasa here, when a Christian friend of mine, I was talking to him recently in our hall, and he just said to me, he said, you know, he was all jittery, you could see he was uncomfortable, and eventually of course it came out, and he just said, look, he said, do you have to wear this? Do you have to wear your kippah? And I kind of shrugged my shoulders and I said, well, I said, you know, I said, no, not really. I can take my kippah off. If I want to take it off, I can take it off. I said, but you know what? My Messiah is Jewish.
Amen.
I will not ever be ashamed of wearing my kippah. Because the God of Israel is my God and the Mashiach is the God of Israel. He is the Jewish Messiah. I am not ashamed. And if this makes me look foolish in public, so be it. Because God is God. He's not a generic spirit floating. He's the God of Israel. The creator of all. And I'm not ashamed of my Messiah, you know. And we need to have the freedom to let out what God has put inside. I called this talk, it's coming up there, isn't it? But I called this talk, letting it all, thank you, bless you. Thank you so much. This is my third or fourth cup of gin. That's water, thank you. Oh, bless you, thank you. That's got to keep me going.
Really good.
Oh, it's wonderful. God is good. You know, I love coming to conferences because you know what? You receive from the Lord, you hear from the Lord, and you just get such a blessing from being here. We live in momentous times, don't we? Yeah? What a privilege to live at a time when we saw the rebirth of Messianic Judaism. Do you know how awesome that is? You know, sometimes maybe you turn up in your Messianic synagogue on a Shabbat morning, and we often say this in a Dat Yeshua. You know, we all rock up and it's the same people, and probably even sitting in the same seats. Can you imagine this? The same seats, right? You know, so I'm standing at the front, and I'm almost like doing a roll call going, oh, so I know who's missing because I know who normally sits there, right? So you're going through all of this, and you know, and you just think, you know, it's your habit, it's Shabbat, and you know, and sometimes we just get into this bit of rut, and maybe some of the joy goes and so on. We need to just remind ourselves, it is no awesome thing that you have a Messianic synagogue to go to. And of course it's not perfect. God is perfect. You come into something which has got people in it. It's not going to be perfect. But God is good, and He's given you a Messianic Jewish home to go to. You know, so love it, enjoy it, and have the freedom to worship and praise and get involved with the people of God and do this. We've got to have the courage to do this. You know, if the world out there is getting darker, it's up to us to really shine the light out. We have to do this. These days are growing darker. We see it around the world. You know, I had a conversation with Elihana a few weeks back, and on one level, it shook me just for a second. I even probably remember the phone call. Shook me for a second. You don't mind me sharing this. And Elihana just said to me, but Rabbi, will it be like, so I'm elaborating here. He said, will it be like an armed guard outside the conference center?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. Yeah? Well, what words are that? It wasn't quite as dramatic as that, was it? And I'm like on the phone in the hall watching the builders, you know, they're doing all the bits and pieces. I'm getting like, armed guard? Right? You know, but yeah, I mean, because we know, don't we? Yeah, and for a second, it just could, you know, the world, the police know we're here, but you know, we're not expecting the doors to be kicked in. This is Northampton, right? You know? No one knows where Northampton is. I didn't know where Northampton was until I looked at Google a few years ago, you know. Who knows where Northampton is? You drive past it on the A14 and keep going, and no one knows. You hit the M1 and the M whatever it is, and you think, where was Northampton, right? No one knows. But the point is, but you're absolutely right. Because it is getting, isn't it? It's getting tougher out there. Barely a week goes by, and you read in the papers, and you know, Jewish people being attacked, and in London or Manchester, and this kind, and the grey zones, and it is no laughing matter. And we know, when the spirit of anti-Messiah is at work as powerfully as the anti-Messiah already beginning to work its spirit through, when you know that Israel is coming under attack, when you get on the tram in Jerusalem and someone gets stabbed, just because they were on a tram, then you know Messiah is coming soon. Yeshua is on his way back. And we see the turmoil of all of this. And you know, we have an amazing, amazing calling. I'm not going to stand here this evening and tell you what God has called us to do is easy. It is not. But what else would you rather be doing? You know, I know what this is what I'm going to do. If this costs me my life, it'll cost me my life. You know, someone many years back had a prophecy for me, and she said, Rabbi, I really don't know how to say this to you, but you know, each time I'm praying for you, I'm getting a picture of you either in a cave or in a prison of some sort. And she said, you know what, I'm praying, but I just see that at some point, you know, for the Lord's sake, you're going to be locked up. So I bless you, sister. You know? But you know what? If that's what it is, what it is. What are we here for? You know, we are not on this earth. God has not put us on this earth just so we can have fun. That is not why you were born. Of course you enjoy it. Of course you have fun. Of course you love the food and you go places and whatever and you come to wonderful conferences. Of course. But ultimately, what is our purpose in life? To serve God. That's why you were born. That's why you were born. To serve God. Whether you're in Ukraine, whether you're in Romania, whether you're in Bulgaria, Australia, America, I don't know, Zambia, it doesn't matter where you are. On one level. What really, really matters is when God speaks to you, do you respond? And it's the quality of your response. Will you serve God? Where you are? Whatever your situation. Because I guarantee you, the enemy will try and stop you from serving God. He'll do his utmost to stop you from serving God. Because that's what you were born for. And if he can stop you from serving God, it's throwing spanners in the works of God's will. And that's, of course, as we know, what Satan loves to do. He's trying to trip us up all the time and cause us problems and so on. It's why we have a calling in this day to be overcomers and to keep on going. You know, there's a lovely verse there which I love where you know, Yeshua is on his way up to Jerusalem. He knows his end is near. He knows the purpose of his life was to die for our sins. The enemy would do everything to try to stop Yeshua from doing that. Because the enemy did not want us to be free. Did not want Israel to be saved. And the scriptures have just one short little comment about this. And it says, Yeshua set his face as flint to go to Jerusalem. And you just think, why? Why is that even mentioned in the scriptures? It's mentioned because unless Yeshua, as it were, had decided, come what may, he was going to Jerusalem. Because that was destiny. That was where he was going. That's where his life was going to find fulfillment. That's what he was born for. That's what he was here for. And nothing was going to detract that path that he was called. But if Yeshua says, even Yeshua set his face as flint, he was not going to be knocked. And we have to be like this too. This is a day when we have to be strong in our conviction before the Lord. We need to know what God has called us to. We need to know it's Shabbat morning. I guarantee you, Shabbat morning, the enemy will throw something at you. The cat will vomit on your duvet. You know what it is? There'll be something, won't there? Right? And you've got to look at that and think, you know what? I'll deal with that later. I am going to synagogue. You've got to decide. You've got to choose. You've got to think to yourself, on the calendar, there are conferences, day conferences, all the other bits in between. You've got to put it on your calendar and think, I am going. Amen. Because I guarantee you that someone will try and stop you. high holy days, whatever it may be, you know, there is one who will ambush you to stop you fulfilling the call of God on your life. You need to start overcoming. You need to be in that position where you're beginning to overcome and see what God is doing for you. And it's really, really important that we do this. You know why? More than anything else, it's not just for us. And ultimately, almost in many senses, not even for the Lord. It's for our people. Because we're not just dancing here and singing this evening and doing things. We are not doing this. It's going to be an awesome conference. We're not going to just go home on Monday and think, thank you, Lord. You know, I'm topped up. I'm feeling good. There's a reason why we do this. It's for the salvation of our people. That is why we're here. That is what this ultimately is all about. And that comes down to us responding to God and deciding and choosing. We are going to be faithful to what God has called us to do. Choice. It's decision. And it's tough, but if you don't decide, you will be knocked. And I guarantee you, as we're going into these end days and end times here, and things begin to get more challenging and more difficult, it's going to get tough. But you know, when the going gets rough, who gets going? The tough get going. It's not the wimps. It's not the ones who actually quite like them. You know, they come to your synagogue because there's a really nice person on the keyboard, you know, there's a really nice worship leader, and you know, you're a 20-year-old young lady, and you think it's great. I love going to that synagogue because the worship leader, he's hot. You know? Right? That isn't going to get you through what is coming. Huh? You know, it's like you go to Zara Abraham, you know why they all go to Zara Abraham? Because the food after the service, it's awesome down there, right? That it is, right? Isn't it? Yeah? So they're flooding in, and you know, they're loving it because they're going through the service and going, yeah, another quarter of an hour, yeah, the food's coming. You know, that's all pumped, that's it. The tables get laid out there, the food gets stacked on it. But you know what? If you're only turning up to Zara Abraham for the food, you're not going to get through. It's not going to be enough. It's really not going to be enough. And we keep on talking about this with Rabbi Sergei, you know, tells me, we talked about this, but if you go, please come to Ukraine with us. It's a blessing beyond words. But we sit there in the synagogue that Rabbi Sergei built effectively with his own hands, in his own garden, having been expelled from a building because the mayor's son wanted it for himself or something, and so the police turned up and just said, out. Oh, we've not had to put up with that. We've not worshipped God at minus 40 in the forest, in the winter. We've not had to put up with that. You know, under Ceausescu, we've not had to put up with that. There's a bit about this that we've got to toughen up, and it's really important. God, I want to just kind of bring into this mix a parable. A parable you have read a million times, and one that you've probably never quite seen something that I'm going to highlight from the parable this evening. This is the parable of the 10 virgins. You know it, of course, so well. And I guarantee you, at this point, you're probably all sitting there thinking, oh, great, Rabbi's going to tell us who the ones with the oil are. Right? Because what we really know, what the parable's really saying, anyone who's in the UPMS, they're the ones with the oil. Right? Obviously. And you know what? You're missing the point entirely. Completely and utterly missing the point. When you read the parable really, really carefully, there's one line in the middle of it which is absolutely shocking. When the parable, you know, with Messiah coming back and so on, when Messiah is coming, when it's obvious that Mashiach is returning, the parable says all 10 were asleep. All 10. Even the ones who had oil. And if you're one of the ones with oil this evening, you go, oh, I've got more oil, you know. You said, all of them. All of them were asleep. And Mashiach was coming. And they were snoozing. And the scriptures are full of words again and again for Russia, all, and everyone else. They're basically saying, wake up. This world is sending us to sleep. You know, soothing away. Yeah. Nice food. Lovely music. gorgeous weather in England. You know, it's lovely. All the wonderful things, you know. Maybe be blessed with them 1,000 times. But you know what? We can end up, you know. In fact, we did, didn't we? In May, on our little sunbeds with our mushrooms over us. You know, it was gorgeous. But spiritually, this is danger. All were asleep. And it's time that we begin to wake up. Time for our people that we begin to wake up. Because here's the nub of all of this. Just even a couple of weeks ago, again, I was reading in the Jewish Chronicle here in the UK. And it said this, and I just want to quote from this. One of the headlines, and it just said this. Increasingly, it says, as a trend in Israel, and I would probably guess around the globe too, but it was commenting on Israel, it says, as a trend in Israel for young Jewish people, quote, to find their spirituality outside the synagogue. What a crying shame. Now, on one hand, we maybe don't blame them. But what is it outside the synagogue they're going to find? What are they going to find? They're trekking through India with the gurus of this and gurus of that and blah. You know, what are our people, what are our young people going to find? Seeking God, but it's seeking in all the wrong places. What a tragedy for our young people, especially in Israel, what a tragedy for our young people. We need to be synagogues. We need to be people in our synagogues who are actually able to reverse that trend. That when Jewish young people, whether Israelis or whether from diaspora, wherever they're coming in from, that when young people come into our synagogues, they want to stay because they've never seen anything like it. Because there's life there. I don't know what it's like in Zer Avraham, but we have a couple of police guys who are attached to our synagogue, who are our, you know, minders, and they pop in occasionally and so on. And it's like, you know, after the service, you just say, well, they're not believers, you know, you just sort of say to them, well, it was, you know, okay, we like that. And, you know, consistently over the last, what, 4 or 5 years, the message they always say to me, often in private, in my office afterwards, they'll say, you know what, Rabbi, we love coming here because there is life. There's something going on. You can't quantify it. You can't pin it down. You're not going to bottle it. You can't sell it. It's there. It's there. And this is something that we need to have the courage to live out and to be who we are in all of this. Because seriously, our people are seeking. They are seeking, but seeking in all the wrong places. And again, these are young people, if you want to see it this way, as we said before, these are young people who 20 years' time are going to be the rabbis and congregational leaders and everything else that's going to come up. We need to be praying for this generation, because that rising generation are going to enter a time in history when it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for us, but it's going to be a challenge yet. It's going to be a challenge. Just as it was in the first century. It's going to be a challenge. We've got to start praying. But you know, the testimony of Messiah Yeshua will only come out if we in our synagogues are willing to actually let out what God has already put inside of us. And here's the really critical bit in all of this. If we need to wake up, what is it we need to wake up to? What do we need to have? You know the bits in 2 Corinthians and elsewhere where it talks about us being living letters and the fragrance of Messiah oozing out of us and contacting people and so on and so forth. What is it that's got to come out? What is the essence of all of this? And quite simply, it is this. God has put into us not only Torah written on our hearts, the Spirit of God is in us. Spirit of Mashiach, the scriptures say, is in us. The Ruach HaKodesh lives in us and in our communities. But here's the problem, I think, sometimes for us, is that, you know what? We sing a few songs, we get, you know, we're in the zone and we're worshipping God, and you know what? We want to hold on to it, don't we? You know, we get out of the synagogue and say, I'm going to the car now, Lord, and that was great, and I'm going home, you know? And we don't want to keep it to ourselves. If you keep it to yourself, you are not going to multiply. Think of the parable of the talents. Who were the ones who were praised? The ones who did something with what God had given them? Who was the one who was condemned? The one who said, yeah, but you know what? I know what you're like, Lord. I'm keeping it to myself. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to hide it. I'm not going to show anyone. I'm going to hold on to it. And the Lord said, that is wrong. You were not a faithful servant because you held on to what God had given you. God has given you the blessings, the ruach, the spirit of Mashiach inside you for a purpose. Who else are our people going to look at to find Yeshua if they're not looking at you? Right? From if we've got it all inside, we know all this, it's in our heads, we read the scriptures, we know all of this is in here. And we're loving it, it's great, and everything else, and what Yeshua is saying to us. If you are going to wake up, then you need to start showing what God has put inside. Let this world know. Because holding on to it, they're not going to know. I said to Adat Yeshua a couple of weeks ago, I said, you know what, I've got a challenge for you. And it wasn't even a difficult challenge. One of the things, actually, I didn't even recall Adat Yeshua people going amen afterwards, but it wasn't a difficult challenge. I just said to people, I said, you know, this week, speak to one person about Yeshua. Where otherwise you might have said, oh, maybe not. Maybe it's too complicated. Maybe they'll get offended. Maybe they won't like me. Maybe it'll cause problems. You know, all those things that we go through in our heads. And I said, just one this week. Just do it. Just go and do it. Because we need a reminder, you know, because I know it's tough. The world pushes in and we're going, well, you know, that's their choice. They don't really want to hear about Yeshua, so I won't interrupt and so on. Well, you know, in season and out season, we haven't got many days left. We have not got many years left, I don't think, in the way this world is going. And frankly, if not now, then when? You have a message inside you. You've got a call inside you to reach our people for Yeshua. That is the only hope of Israel. It's the only hope of Israel. You know, isn't it? It's true. Yeah. And I know that you know me, I don't knock people, I don't attack people and so on. You know, but sometimes when Hebrew Christians come and they say, oh, you know, I love Israel and Israel is so wonderful and oh, the Orthodox are wonderful people and beautiful and so on. And I just say, whoa, cut. If Israel is so wonderful, why do they need saving? It's true. Look at Tel Aviv.
No.
Huh? Yeah? Don't come at me with this stuff. We know Israel needs Yeshua.
Amen.
Let's not deceive ourselves in all of this. Now, I love my Orthodox brothers and sisters. Don't get me wrong. I love each and every one. But I love them enough to share Yeshua with them.
Amen.
And not leave them in the condition they are.
Amen.
Yeah? It's true. And if we haven't got the gumption and the guts, then you know what? We have got stuff in our hearts. We've got the talents that God has given us, His gifts and His blessings and everything else. We have it all locked up in here, and we don't want to share it with nobody. That's mine. Mm-hmm. And it will rot and rust and decay because you aren't letting it out. You know what? Scriptures often talk about how the Spirit of God flows through. If something is flowing, what does that mean? You can't flow in unless something flows out. If you want the Spirit of God to flow in your life, start letting the Spirit of God out. Let Him flow. Let Him pour out of you. And then you'll have space and He'll start to refill you. But if you aren't willing to step out and let the Spirit of God come out of you, then we're not going to see you being filled. And you might think, yeah, but I had an infilling of the Lord 2 years ago. Oh, man, but that was 2 years ago, right? What about now? The blessing you received 2 years ago was for 2 years ago. That's what you were meant to use it for 2 years ago. This week you're going to meet someone and the Lord wants to bless you now, to fill you now, to get you ready for what's going to happen. But I'm still so filled up with what's happened 2 years ago. And we need to have the courage to do something here. I want to give a radical thought to you in all of this, you know. The world often says to us, you know, oh, be who you are, let out who you are, find your real self, you know. And this is a weird one. Because so often we as believers say, oh, no, we mustn't dare. And the usual story, you know, or wretched me and so on. I'm going to have a radical thought for you here. What God has put inside of you is who you are. You know what the book of Romans says? When you were a sinner, you behaved like a sinner. Did you wake up in the morning when you were a sinner and you didn't know the Lord? Did you wake up in the morning and look at your diary and go, 10 o'clock, go and do a bit of thieving. That's good, yeah. Midday, murder my neighbour. Yeah. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, go and commit adultery. Did you? Was that what you, right? None of us did that. Because you didn't kind of see it in that way. You just got out of bed. You did what came naturally to you. Because you didn't know God. Well, I've got news for you. You do know God. You do know Him. And He has changed you. Again, Romans says you are a new creation. Yeah? The old man is gone. So stop living with the old man. Kick him out. You're a new creation. If you aren't able to be that new man or woman of God that Yeshua has made you to be, then you are holding on to something of the past. And if you're holding on to that old man and old woman that's long gone, Yeshua said, that's finished, it's gone. You are a new creation in Messiah. You're born again. And now you've got to start doing what comes naturally to you. And that is letting the Spirit of God flow. That is natural for us who walk in the Spirit. It's the most natural thing in the world. We need to be doing this. Why is this so important in our day? More than anything else, I think, quite simply, is this. Our people are tired of seeing fake. They want to see something real. They want to see something real. They're tired of seeing the same old, same old, same old. You know, the things that let you down and it doesn't work and this and that. They want to see real. I mentioned this again just a couple of weeks back to the Samaritan Synagogue. I said, look, one of the biggest blessings that anyone has really said to us when people visit our synagogue, it's a lovely thing, often gets said in the Dabi Shul. I'm not blowing my own shofar with this, but you know, it often gets said. And people will come at the end of the service if they're a visitor and they go, Rabbi, why are you so normal? And I'm thinking, well, I didn't think I really was that normal, you know, but and then, why are you so normal? And you kind of unpack that and say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Why are we so normal here? You know, you're not all airy fairy and you're not all this and you know, you're surreal. You're so normal. Because you know what? Our people spot fake really quickly. I say, why are you so normal? We've not seen normal before. You're normal people. You're just getting on with it. You're worshipping the Lord. You're doing the mitzvot. You're carrying out righteousness. You're just doing it. You're real. And real has an impact. Because when people see real, they want it. When our people finally see real, they're saying, I haven't seen that before. I want that. I want that for me. And that draws people to Messiah. We don't need to be fake. We don't need airy-fairy words. We don't need to, you know, encompass everything with a form of words or this, that, and the other. I want to challenge you. Let out what God has put inside. Be real. Let it out. Show this world, show our people what it actually means to follow the Yeshua Mashiach of Israel. Show our people in reality acts of love and kindness and righteousness and goodness and love and mercy. Let it out. And people were astonished, we said, in our new building. Said, you know, said, oh yeah, you've got to do this, that and the other. But you know what I first start talking about people when people say, what are you going to have in your synagogue building? And I said, you know what we're going to have? We're going to have a food bank at the back. And we go, but what about the sanctuary? What about your Aron? What are you going to, you know, if you've got your scroll? And we go, yeah, we've got a food bank at the back. And then we're going to have probably a preschool breakfast club for the poor kids in the area so they get some food before they go to school. Because you know what? Kids can't learn if they're not eating a breakfast.
That's true.
Right? And then I go, but that's not what I thought you were going to say. Practical acts of love and kindness, chesed, are there. And you know what? It speaks to our people. It's not just about the airy fairy. It's real. It's what we're called to be. Authentic. Reality. Release Yeshua from inside you. And let Him out. Let Him out so the world can see. who you really follow. Show this world who you really, truly are in the Lord. Prophet Ezekiel, just to wrap all this up, the prophet Ezekiel very simply puts it like this. And he says, when the Torah has been written on our hearts, he said, the Spirit of God will empower you to walk. You know what? Praise God, because you know I wouldn't have the strength to do it. And I don't have to have the strength to do it. You don't have to have the strength to do it. It comes back to what we said there, not by might, not by power, but by the power of the Lord, right? That's what it comes down to. We aren't called to be powerful people. We're called to follow a powerful God. Let him out. Release our God from inside. He has given you so much. Do not hold it back. And we're talking this weekend. Rabbi's already mentioned it, that we're talking this weekend about the mitzvot and some of the things that we're beginning to move into and so on, raising our Jewish identity here in the UK, connecting with UMJC and other movements around the world. Messianic Judaism is coming of age. It is. It's coming to age. It's coming to a point of maturity. And as it gets to that point of maturity, the impact is going to be huge.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be huge. Because our people have been waiting for this. They've been waiting for this. Not some kind of spiritual pretense. They've been waiting for what God is birthing within this Messianic Jewish movement. Our people are waiting to see real. And they're going to see it. It's coming. We're going to see it. We're coming. This weekend we're talking about it. We're going to be talking about, we're equipping ourselves to really begin to move into the areas of raising our Jewish identity, what it means to be Jewish and Messianic together in this day and age, what that actually means, to begin to practice the reality of it. Let God out. Amen? Let Yeshua out. Because he's in here. Let him out. Let this world see what you have. It's the only way our nation, our people are ever going to see it. Amen?